This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Born October 19th in Boston, Massachusetts, our next guest started his comedy career in his teens, eventually moving to Los Angeles and quickly landing gigs at all of Hollywood's legendary clubs. He's appeared on Last Comic Standing, hosted his own CMT talk show, starred in numerous comedy specials, and hosts his own podcast. And last night saw the release of his latest special, Four Stories, streaming now on YouTube. Please welcome comedian and longtime friend of the show, Josh Wolf.
Johnny, did you ever make mixtapes for girls when you were growing up?
No, my ADHD prevented that, and the lack of girls.
Okay. So dude, I used to have that dual cassette, right, where I could tape the tape.
Yep.
And I remember I would make mixtapes for girls, and in between every song, I would give them a little, you know, I put this song on the tape for you because when I hear this song, I think about you walking down the hallway.
Oh my God. You're a player, man. You had it going on.
Dude, I found one of those mixtapes when I was moving a couple of years ago. And my voice was cracking because I was, you know, a little, you know, just going through it. And I told her that she she made my JNCO jeans move.
Shut up. You did not. I wondered if you look back and go, think, man, it sounds sweet, or I sound slick, or you're just like, oh, dude, I hope this never ends up in court. This sounds bad.
You know what it was? I vacillated between all three of those.
Yeah.
Because at some point I was like, look at this sweet little guy, you know, putting a Journey song in there, you know? And then you made my JNCO jeans move. I was like, oh my God.
Lord knows, man. I listened to girl repellent music either, because we were all Maiden and, you know, and Priest and AC/DC. Like, girls just weren't down with that. I dated one girl. I remember we were kids and we didn't do anything serious, but we would just, you know, you'd just dry hump each other till you'd almost explode from static electricity. And She was the only metal chick I knew at that age of my life, because I remember she couldn't go to school when Randy Rhoads died. Randy Rhoads got killed. She was such an Aussie fan.
Oh my God.
It's such a hardcore Hesher chick. So we couldn't smash up against each other or whatever.
You know, the dry hump. Yep. I remember on the like nights that I was like, oh, I'm dry humping for sure. I would choose different underwear, because I was like, I gotta wear a cushier pair of underwear.
Yeah, right. Yeah, before the fire starts. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, the dry hump was. Can I tell you my first? Okay, when I was 12. Okay,
12. Jesus Christ, you were smooth.
Listen, in sixth grade. Okay, so there was this girl, and I didn't know anything about anything, man. Sixth grade, we didn't have the internet. I didn't know anything what boobs were. You know, I knew what they were, but I didn't know the anatomy and.
Right.
And
right.
So she tells me, she goes, hey, my dad's going out of town this weekend. And all we'd ever done at 12 was just make out. And she goes, my dad's going out of town this weekend. You want to come over? And I was like, yeah. I didn't know what that meant. I didn't know anything. So she tells me, when I get there, we're going to do something we've never done before. And I was like, what? What are we going to do? And she told me that I'm going to let you grow up my shirt, but the back of it. And I was like,
come on.
Yeah, dude. yeah, dude, wait. And I go, what? And she goes, I'm going to let you feel my back boobs. And I go, there are back. I was like, there are back boobs? You know your things when you push out your back bones?
Your scapula. Like, what are they called? Your scapula. Your shoulder blades.
So she would push them out, and I would squeeze.
Oh, my God.
Shut up. Shut up.
So I went home, and I thought I was this big shit, right? And the next morning, I tell my brother. I go, tell you something. You know, he's my older brother. I'm trying to brag to him.
Right.
And he's like, what? And he's like, I felt Stephanie's back boobs last night. And he was like, what? What are you? What? I go, I felt Stephanie's back boobs. He goes, show me what are you talking about? And I had to push out my scapula. And he goes, dude, that means you have back boobs too? And I was like, what? And he goes, everyone's got back boobs? Is that what you're saying? And I was like, oh, no. And he was like, those aren't boobs, dude. So those are bones.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. Dude. It's so good. Dude, I remember the first time a girl ever, and you wonder why you like the things you like. I was probably, same thing, sixth grade, but for some reason, this kid, his name was John. He lived up the street from me, John Liker. And so the girl across the street had moved in, and she was maybe a year or two older than us, but she told us we could see her boobs. And we're like sixth graders. We're like, what? Okay. But she's like, but you have to. She's this hot little Mexican girl. And his family moved in, and you know, she's older than us, so she's like, in our eyes, she's like a woman, right? But she'd hit some puberty. But she goes, you can't come in the house. You have to look through the basement window. So you know those, you know those, you can get out. You know what I'm talking about? Like the corrugated, yeah, little half circle. Like,
they're like thin little, yeah.
Yeah. So there's a well right there. So we go over there and she's like, okay, come over at this time. So we do. And then she's looking, we're knocking on the window. She's like, okay. And she's got a sheet of plastic and she pulling, takes her shirt up. But we see her like through the plastic. And I mean, we're losing our minds. Right. Right. And then it's over. But I think back to it. I think, my God, if her father would have walked out.
Oh my
and
Lord.
See, like, there's no way you could have told the story. Like, I feel like we got set up. Like, she's like, you know, you're like, she told us to look through the window at night while she had her shirt off, you know, like together. Yeah, yeah. And he's like, oh, I'm sorry, but I had to tell your son.
Together, the funny, together. Explaining that to the cops. You know, she said both of us come over together and peek through the window.
At night. Yeah. I know. I was like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, but the difference is, Johnny, we didn't have porn in our pocket when we were 12 years old.
No. That's exactly right.
So these things were like mind-blowing to us.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I'm trying to think the first boobs I saw in a movie might have been Porky's.
Sure, maybe. Of course. I think for almost all pubescent boys, that was your first clear shot of that. And it was the idea that the girl, remember that she, Lassie, that she made sounds like a dog. Oh, you're like, chicks make sounds like dogs? You're like, I hope I meet a girl that makes a sound like a dog.
Kim Cattrall was the girl in the locker room.
That's right. That is right, man.
It was a young Kim Cattrall, and she so hot. I remember walking out of that like, what was, did I get a boner in public? You know?
Yes, you did.
Yes, I did.
As we all did.
Yeah, 100%, man. You know what? It's funny. I think... That introduction to sex and all that stuff was better. That gradual innocence.
Absolutely, man.
Yeah. Was better.
No, for sure. You know? Sure. There's a lot to be said for the Head Start program for sex and with pornography. Like, that would have saved me this, you know, when I was fast forward to 16, 17, getting a hand job from Heather. You know, and I'm like, Jesus Christ, couldn't someone tell you to do this without taking the skin off? You know, you're over there getting punished. I mean, truly punished. Yeah. But someone's touching it, so you're like, just keep doing it. I don't care. But you're like, oh, my God. It's honestly like starting a fire at scout camp.
Yeah.
I'm like, you're giving me an actual Indian rug burn on my wiener.
Yeah, dude. Can I tell you also, I didn't, all through high school, I didn't know how to undo a bra. So I would do that thing where you just lift the bra above the boobs. You just kind of slide it above. You know what I mean? So it made them like real flat, like it just patted them down, you know, because you were just pushing.
Oh, yeah. All those. Or when you got to the point where you're having sex in cars and you just take one pants leg off.
Oh, it was. Well, you only need one pant leg off. It was only lasting 27 seconds.
That's right. And I used to have a Pontiac Sunbird, so we'd kick the two seats back. It was a two door. And you'd kick the two seats, the front seats, forward on their. You know, they'd lean forward so people could get in the back, and then you'd have to ride the hump. And if you weren't careful, because I wasn't super tall, you'd end up with a rug burn on your back. Because like, you're over there scooching away, you know, like crazy, looking out the back window. You watch the front just in case the cops come. Like,
not only that, dude, it was below freezing half the year.
Absolutely.
But we were still having sex outside.
Yes, because nothing could stop you. Nothing.
I remember, okay. So this girl I used to go out with a little bit in high school, she used to drink these. Do you remember the Purple Passions?
Of course.
Come in a can.
Learn to drink them in a sewer, son.
Yeah, sure. Okay, good.
Yep.
So she loved the Purple Passion. This was when the wine coolers were huge and Bruce Willis was singing about Seagrams and all that stuff, right?
We also had another one called Malt Duck. I don't know if you remember that.
What was that?
Malt Duck was a purple malt liquor.
No, I never saw that.
Yeah, no.
Did it come in a bottle?
Yeah, a short bottle, like a Little King. But I digress. But, Lee, I'm sorry. I just reminded me.
That's all right. We love those Mickeys, too. Those short little Mickeys, big mouths.
Yep. Drink them before they stink. Drink them before they stink.
So I brought this girl in the woods. And I brought a couple blankets because I'm classy.
Yeah.
And we were both kind of hammered. And I was on top of her, and I was like, this might be the first time I have sex, right? And so I go to push myself up, but I'm a little drunk too, and I push the middle of her stomach by accident, and I guess I hit the button, and she projectile vomited straight into my face, dude. Not like a little hook, but like one of those fire opening the fire hoses, just. But, dude, you know, as a teenage boy, that's not a deal breaker for me.
Not at all.
If you're good to go, I'm still good to go.
Yeah.
She was not good to go. She apparently not only did something come out the top, it came out the bottom a little bit, too. So she was like, it's time to go.
Yeah.
But again, not a deal breaker at 15. I was like, hey, listen, I got a hose in my backyard.
Dude, I was 16 before I got all the way there. Thank God she was, her name was Kim, and she had to live with her aunt because she was a troubled girl. And she was 18, and I was 16, and she was every bit 8 inches taller than I was. Magnificent. Magnificent. Oh, my God, she was a woman. Jesus Christ. It was perfect. It was amazing. That we wore that out for a whole summer.
I'm sure you got on your bicycle and you pedaled over there as fast as you could every night.
Every day, dude. Every day. I woke up in the morning. Her aunt had to go to work, and she was there. And she only lived like 3 blocks. I mean, I was like, my bike was parked on the side of that house all summer long, I assure you.
Oh, dude. It's hard to ride a bicycle with a boner.
Oh, my God.
Josh Wolf, if you're just joining the show, man, now listen, this leads us to four stories that came out last night at 8 o'clock on YouTube, because I'm perusing through that. And it's amazing how in parallel our lives have been, Josh. You talk about your roommate with a deaf girl.
Yeah, dude. So uncomfortable. When I was younger, you know, my roommate had a lot more sex than I did. And we lived in one room. And our beds were next to each other. So, you know, I'm sure you've had to pretend you were asleep.
Sure.
When your roommate was having, right. Well, he brings this girl home. And I hear them like kissing, you know, and because I'm not looking, that's not my deal. I hear them kissing and I hear clothes starting to come off. And then they start to have sex, dude. And I just hear, and I was like, what? My first thought is that bed haunted? Like, what? Are they trying to find a dolphin on sonar over there? What is that? And it just started happening. So I was like, nah, that's not for me. I got to walk out of here right now, you know. And he stopped me. He was like, hey, dude, don't go anywhere. And I was like, he said, if you leave, she's going to know you can hear us. She's going to get embarrassed and she's going to leave. You got to stay. And I just leaned in and I go, dude, don't talk to me when you're having sex with her. And he straight up just kept having sex with her. And he goes, she can't hear me. And I was like, oh, my Lord. It was horrible, dude. Absolutely. Has that happened to you?
No, but my good buddy Mick that I grew up with, where I grew up in Olathe, Kansas, the Kansas School for the Deaf is right there. And so, you know, I don't know why I didn't see it, but he saw a whole farm team of beautiful girls who wanted to, you know, explore their bodies and do their thing. I mean, they were just as and they didn't have the dating pool because, you know, it's the time of the world.
Yeah.
And so he loved to go over there. And I was like, what is your fascination with this? Because then I got curious and they were always good looking girls. And he didn't even bat an eye. I always remember Nick Vaginas was his name. He goes, dude, they make cool noises when you F them. I was like, what are you talking about? Yeah.
Dude, you saw just the school. He saw an opportunity.
That's right. That's right. You know? Big vision. Big vision, man.
Dude, it was, I don't think I would describe those as cool noises.
Yeah, he loved
that. Oh, dude, it was so uncomfortable. But I want to tell you something about this special man. And I think you, of all people, would really appreciate this. This is something that I was told not to do, not to shoot the way I shot it. After I shot it, I was told by countless people, you got to take this out. You can't leave this in. This is not good for, this is not how people shoot specials. One, I shot it. I didn't rent a huge theater. I didn't get an audience coordinator to tell people to stand up when I walk out and stand up when I finish the show. I wanted it to feel super, I shot it super raw. I wanted you to feel like you were in the audience, like you were at a stand-up show. I left, you know, there was a, you know, you do multiple sets, right?
Right.
Sometimes people do four sets, same clothes, and they'll cut the four sets together to make sure they have the best. I did not do that. As a matter of fact, I shot it twice. The first show went off without a hitch. The second show, dude, because I didn't tell the audience they were coming to see a special because I wanted them to have an authentic experience, right? There was a drunk woman who I had to throw out. And it was uncomfortable. It was awkward. I had to stop the show down. I had to win the audience back. And I said, I leave it all in.
Perfect.
I say out loud, I say, after all that awkwardness and all that stuff, I say, hey, we're going to see if this story is still funny after you stop it for 10 minutes. And I get back in because that's the experience of a stand-up.
That's right.
What we go through every weekend.
Every single time.
So instead of showing what the perfect set looked like, I showed you what the authentic experience looked like, and that's the way I shot it. I shot four long, because I'm a storyteller, dude. I love telling stories. I had people all over, they're like, you can't just tell four stories in one special. The audience doesn't have that attention span, and I'm tired of people telling me how stupid other people are. People can sit and watch. They're not dummies. And so I didn't do a lot of edits where I kept a lot of single shots on me. It's completely different than any special anybody's ever shot. I was told over and over again not to do it, and I did it. I was also told over and over again not to release it yesterday. I mean, you know, I've had some family stuff going down.
Right.
And so I couldn't do a whole lot
push. The big push for
I couldn't do podcasts. Yeah, I couldn't do any of that stuff. And so they were like, push it, push it, push it. And I didn't do that either, man. You know,
Listen, yeah. People will find it because it's genuinely funny. Josh Wolf, by the way, four stories. It comes out. You can find it on YouTube. It's there right now. And
it's called Four. If you go to fourstories.com, yep, they'll take you right to the special.
And it is great. And again, as you move through this world, the one thing you learn is everything you think is the worst thing in the world, most of the time, those aren't the ghosts that you're really going to have. It's the stuff you didn't see, right? Like, so the idea of pushing back the special, the idea of keeping everything quiet. Listen, this is life. You and your son are really close. And I hope Jacob's doing really, really well. He's a great young guy. He's a smart kid. And if he needs to take a little time to get his head right, then that's what it is.
Well, listen, man, I want to tell you, first of all, and in all seriousness, dude, I appreciate your friendship. I appreciate you reaching out, man. That means a lot. You for those, you know, and Jacob's been honest about it, we had to put him in a drug facility for, you know, to get some addiction issues under wraps. And you really see who your friends are by who reaches out. And I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you reaching out. It's been a very difficult week or so. You know, no matter how old your kids get, that's still my baby, man.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And I've been a basket of emotions for the past week or so, but feeling hopeful, man. I spoke to him yesterday, and I know he's feeling very hopeful too. It would be great. You know, my wife and I had both noticed him just like, what is going on with him? He's different, very, very different. And we're hopeful that we get the dude back who we've known our whole lives, you know?
Well, it's up to him. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know. But if he willingly rolled in and he knows, hey, man, I can't keep going like this, then you're more than halfway there.
Dude, he did. You know, I don't, you know, I'm a guy. I don't tell other people's stories, right? So I'll tell my stories, but I'm not going to, unless somebody gives me okay to tell a story, I don't. But I can tell you that I got a very alarming text from him. He was in London for his best friend's wedding. Got this really alarming text from him. And I turned to my wife. I'm like, hey, he's home in 2 days. We got to have a plan. And so he got home. You know, he lives here in Vegas. He doesn't live with us. But we were like, hey, come over for breakfast. And I was like, hey, I bought us a couple plane tickets, and this is what we're doing today, right now. We're driving to the airport. And he said, okay. There was no argument.
He wanted you to. He wanted you to, man. He needed you to.
Yeah. That's so,
Yeah, man.
You're right. But it's also like how, you know, when he's a parent, you will always second guess. You're like, I know he needed me to. And then how come I didn't see it earlier, you know? But I can't.
But you know as well as I do, you can cover up till it gets out of control. You cover it. I mean, we've all done it. Listen, I've done drugs. Thank God it didn't ever get away from me. But of course I could cover it. I could walk in here and cover it, you know? Until you can't, and then it shows.
Yeah, yes, and you're right, and I know that in my head, but I am also just mostly grateful that I'm in a position where I can put him in a place that he did go willingly, and that he is looking forward to the other side. So it's been. And look, man, I'll have to get over the fact that I raised a quitter, but whatever.
Dude, if you think I didn't think at some point, go, man, wait till Jacob finds out he's half of the next special. what's the name of your special, Josh? It's Son, No One Likes a Quitter. Yeah.
Daddy raised a quitter. That's the name.
You know what? And you know the golden rule. If you don't laugh, your head will explode. If you don't find the way to let it out, your head will pop off, man. And it always goes bad. You got to laugh at the dark stuff.
I agree. And I'm of the thinking that that's the way to get past this, past it the quickest.
Yep. Yes.
I mean, honestly, the hardest I've ever laughed in my life was at my grandfather's funeral, because a good joke in a tense situation like that is the best joke.
That's right. That is. You know? It is. And people who don't understand that, they keep it all inside. Man, that pressure cooker's in all of us. It's happening.
So yeah.
You either let it out, or at one moment it's going to explode, and that's how you lose your ass. You go crazy. You end up, you know, doing something way more over the top than you thought you were going to do. You got to let it out, man. And that starts with humor, and you got to find that, because it's the only way we survive.
Yeah, man. Listen, if you tell a joke to me and you say too soon, I know you said it too late.
You know? That's right. Like four stories. Like that's what makes you such a great, to me, such a great comedian, is it's original work in the sense that it's life, and that's it. I told you, man, I'm watching four stories, and all of a sudden I go, oh my God, my buddy Nick used to love banging deaf chicks. But it's all of that for all of us. It's the terrible embarrassment of being a human being, the shame that comes with every day walking through this life, the weird decisions we make, like why we are the way we are. But that's again, it's how you survive. You learn, I'm not alone. We'll just laugh at this. And the absurdity of our humanity is what gets us through, man.
Yes, dude. Listen. These are the type of everyday things that make me giggle, and I always put in my stand-up. So I have a theory. If you're dropping a deuce, if you're going number two at the airport, it's an emergency, right?
Yeah.
There's no casual poops at the airport. You don't casually poop where 1,000 people sit down every day, right?
Yeah. It's warm. So, it's always a warm
that's
seat.
Right.
You're like, bleh.
Always.
Bleh.
Yeah. Dude, the warm seat is the grossest.
Yeah. Okay. That's how I describe some people's personality, by the way. I go, that dude has a personality like a warm toilet seat. Yeah,
I know I want to avoid that human 1,000%. There's no... So I'm washing my hands, and from the stall behind me, dude, I just hear this, I hear a weird noise, like almost like someone threw like 20 nickels into a toilet.
Oh, no.
And then I just hear this guy go, he goes, why is this happening to me? It made me laugh. Those are the kind of things that make me laugh, because we've all been that dude. We've all been that dude. And I was like, I know I've been in a public stall thinking the same thing, right? And this is the type of humor that I like, man. It's what somebody can look at and go, yeah, dude, I know that dude. I may not have been in that situation, but I get that emotion, that fear or whatever, that embarrassment, right? So this is where I try to get my stand-up from. And it's all over the place. These stories, there's a story about me getting arrested at IKEA in this special. There's a story from my very first spring break in college. There's the sex with a deaf girl. And then there's a story about almost getting kicked off of a plane.
See, I can't wait to watch all of it. Like I said, it came out at 8 last night. And so I was just trying to get into it. And see as much as I could, because I knew that you were going to be back on this morning. But now I get to go back and watch it all again in a completely different, less studying for the show type situation, man. And I'll tell you, I love the idea that the way you shot at the camera. There's only like two camera angles in the whole thing. It's like head on and then from the side. And it does. It feels like a real comedy show. It reads just like it is what we want when we go see you live. And to that point, when are you going to hit Kansas City? When are you back?
I'm in Kansas City in December
5th. December 5th.
Usually, yeah.
To the 7th.
And so, and look, man, I don't know what will happen by then. And I can't project Jacob, but he won't be out. But that's right around the time that I was told, if things are going well, you can fly here, take him with you to a show, because he stays in the same room with me. And so that I and fly back and bring him back.
Yeah, yeah.
So that beginning of December would be right at that time. So hopefully that happens, man. And I just seriously appreciate you and always appreciate the show, but specifically your friendship, man. And it means a lot.
Always. It's above all things. Always that.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.